Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
America Part 2. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. I'm going to pretty much give you the same introduction we did on Who Bankrupt America Part 1, but I'm just going to add a little to it. One writer wrote, "Is America bankrupt? Is the United States at the end of its resources, exhausted, stripped bare, destitute, wanting in property, or wrecked in consequences of failure to pay its creditors?" America is a bankrupt nation owned completely by its creditors. One writer wrote, the creditors own the Congress, they own the executives, they own the judiciary, and they own the state governments. And it went on to say, if you have a birth certificate, then they own you as well. If this is the case, the bankrupt America will soon no longer be the land of the free. For when a nation loses its ability to sustain itself, it becomes dependent upon others. And more often than not, those others are more interested in how they can consume and enslave us than they are on how they can save us from our own greed and stupidity. Again, tonight's topic is Who Bankrupt America, Part 2. At this time, I'm going to introduce my co-host, Mr. A.J. Houston. Good afternoon, A.J.
Hey, what's up, Carrie? How you doing?
I'm good. Any thoughts about today's topic?
Well, I think there's a lot of information that people actually need to hear, and I guess everybody has their own opinion on the subject, but the thing is as long as you give enough facts and enough information out for people to troubleshoot and see their own, people will actually find the truth themselves. But we do need to at least, you know, put a roadmap out there so they know where to look.
Okay, I agree with that. As far as the crosstalk, last show we did on this particular topic, there was a lot of information being put out there and a lot of energy. We want to kind of say tonight, if the crosstalk could be limited because the information is so vitally important. Do you agree with that?
Well, I would also like to add to that is I'm in complete agreement, but I think that since we have different intellectual minds and people that know that the information that they're putting out is important to them, so I think it's only just that they would not, you know, I guess, over-talk each other and give everybody an opportunity to finish, but you kind of need to limit your comments to, you know, 2 to 3 minutes because you might lose somebody after that with so much information. But at least wait till somebody finish before you actually join in. And we have some excellent panelists, and I think everybody can adhere to those specific rules.
I have to co-sign that. We do have some excellent panel members tonight. Okay, a reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or our host. My panel tonight consists of Mr. Kohan Yashabaya. Roy Jones will be joining us in the second hour. We have Mr. Paul with us. We have Carol Blair. I'm going to open up everybody's phone lines and say good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Carol. Kohan Yashabaya, I'm having trouble opening your line. Good afternoon.
Well, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm
Paul,
here.
Paul, are you there?
Greetings to the great wonders of the world.
Well, you know what? The last time we did the show was 2 weeks ago, and we did Who Bankrupt America. And then we followed the following day about Congresswoman Giffords shooting, the Arizona shooting. And all the information seemed to connect in terms of who bankrupt America, our currency, just a whole lot of things were going on that all seemed like they were all connected. But I don't know if we ever established in the first show or the second show who actually bankrupt America. Did we come to a conclusion on who we felt was responsible for that? Mr. Kohan Yashabaya.
Yes, I would say that we came to a conclusion. We realized that what bankrupt America was the system that America had been set up by. Now, the deal was who was running that system. And we went to many areas of information along who bankrupt America. Well, it's a fact that America is bankrupt, but now is the United States bankrupt? So I begin to look at some estimates. We talk about America, and we assume that when you say America, you're talking about the United States. But as I've been doing some more research here lately, when they're talking about letting certain states now begin to file bankruptcy, I was not aware until I did research that there's a thing called a Chapter 9 bankruptcy that will allow states, individual states, to file bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question now, when you say America, are you talking about America or are you talking about the United States? Because it seemed like America was been bought a long time ago. What about the United States Incorporated? I know where do they stand, because now each state has the right to file bankruptcy as Oregon County did in California in 1994.
Wow. Mr. Paul, who do you feel bankrupt America, or do you feel as Mr. Kohan just said?
Well, I do. I agree with him. I like to add a little bit more to it. I think at the end of the day, you know, I like to focus on keep it real simple, as you all stated earlier. I think the American people and I think China bankrupt America.
Okay.
You want to elaborate?
Well, the American, first, you know, there are a lot of, when we start talking about bankruptcy, okay, we have to talk about history. We have to talk about what led us to the point of bankruptcy. We have to talk about the types of debt that you incur that would lead you to bankruptcy. And when we talk about the American people have become a society of consumers. We have become a society of greed. We have become a society of waste. And because of this, you have to maintain this foolishness through debt. Well, this debt is maintained through something called future deliverance. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, go ahead, but explain it to our audience.
Okay. Future deliverance basically says that I want this, but I don't have the money to pay for it right now. But I promise to you, over a period of time, I will pay you X amount of dollars, okay, based on the current income that I have today. Meaning, if you go and buy a car that costs $30,000 and you don't have $30,000 to pay for it right now, you beg and plead with the finance people and say, please give me this car because I want it so much. And they look at your credit report and they look at your financial status and then they allow you to have it. But with the terms that you'll pay it out over the next 5 years. But in actuality, you're not going to pay it out over the next 5 years because your job status, you've proven that your job status won't last over the next 5 years. So what ends up happening is the car ends up, what, being repossessed. Well, that note is still out there, and that debt is still out there, and somebody is responsible for that debt. Although you as the individual have relinquished or said, I can no longer pay for it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one aspect of future deliverance that we're talking about, and obviously it's on a much grander scale than just a car, okay, because
right.
We're talking about military weapons, we're talking about actual labor to produce certain products, to produce certain to produce certain services that are required in order to keep a society afloat. Where China comes into the equation, China basically has utilized themselves as free labor. They have utilized their expertise. They have bought up a lot of your American debt. And because they have engaged in the purchase of all of this debt, you are now responsible to China. So when I say you are, I'm talking about the actual American citizen is responsible for the debt that China owns. So when they call upon their debt, you better get ready to go to work for them and or become a slave or pay off your debt.
Oh, wouldn't be another alternative, we may go to war?
It's a possibility if you don't have the money to pay off your debt.
Carol Blair, who bankrupted America?
Well, I agree with Paul. I agree with Yashimura. All of that's true. But really, I think the root of all of it, the bottom of it, is the Federal Reserve, which is not a part of the government and doesn't have any reserves. And they set up the system and have printed and provided money for people or countries to borrow to get us in the where we are now. And the people who are benefiting by it are several ruling families. They have stock in the Federal Reserve, and I don't know if people know who those families are, but they're the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, the Schiffs, the Rockefellers, the Harrimans, the Morgans, and other known big rich elite.
Right.
And they benefit by the Federal Reserve. And really, they're the root cause of everything we're seeing now. The American people, they don't have to participate. And we used to not be involved in consumerism like we are now, not to the extent that we are now. Because people used to not get in debt. Our parents did not purchase anything unless they purchased it with cash. So we do have a choice, but we're addicted. American people are addicted. So that's my comment.
I agree. Let me ask you, Colin, you and I talked this week about Social Security. What did we find out new about Social Security in terms of it being bankrupt?
Well, we got into the fact that what they're doing there with this new law they're trying to pass, Carol. Ms. Carrie, was they want to take a look at Social Security as a means of helping them with the debt, but it's already being swallowed up. We're aware of that. The fact that it's not enough people working to support those who are already on Social Security. And we talked about that a little bit other night when we got into the discussion on it. I'm trying to find my notes that I had put set aside on what they was doing.
Let's look at this. Who all gets Social Security?
Well, right now the big thing was with the baby boomers coming on board getting it right now. Those who are 62 are getting it early.
Right.
That's been a fear factor, and they've said with the baby boomers now reaching that age of 62, they're trying to give them away to 70 because of the debt, with the dead years. But more and more people my age who are getting out of the workforce are going after their money while there's some still left, because in another 5 or 10 years, they already said there won't be any left.
I think what I found in research was that the Treasury needed to borrow money to pay Social Security benefits 15 out of the last 25 months.
Right,
so that
right.
already indicates there's a problem.
Yeah.
So who are they borrowing this money from?
Very good question. Uncle Sam, I don't know.
I think Paul hit it. Well, no, Carol hit it about the Federal Reserve. See,
right.
That's the one thing people realize. People talking about bankruptcy. The Federal Reserve is not bankrupt because they have the right to print money. You know, so they can keep printing. It's those who do not have the authority to print money to bail themselves out. They said they're printing up money. But I want us to also look at the fact that, and as Paul said, China. Well, China has gotten in trouble here recently as we were doing some research, because with Obama asking him to China to pull back 40% on their currency to let the dollar keep flowing. But China is faced with a thing on February the 3rd called the Chinese New Year.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all familiar with that?
I am. I don't know what the rest of the audience is.
Yes.
They take off 50 days.
Okay, the Chinese New Year is going to come in. When it comes in, it's going to a lot of people, a lot of Chinese are going home. And they're saying right now that it's going to hurt Chinese economy, because a lot of the people, here was cheap labor. Now it's going for high-tech jobs. A lot of them not coming back to work. So that means for 15 days, it's a work stoppage. So now the American companies that are over in China is going to suffer. Some of the companies already begin now, like a Container Store, GE, they begin to bring jobs now back to America, because said Henry Hu, a Hong Kong-based consultant of Chinese merchants. So China is now getting in trouble because of the fact that a lot of Paul and them said, because our luxury living in, it has now flowed into the Chinese culture. So now those who used to work for a little nothing, they want more money.
What I found out about China this week was that their minimum wage ranks 158th in the world.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're lower than like 32 African nations.
Okay.
And their annual income in China is only $896 a year. So that kind of tells you why our manufacturers are going over to China.
But see, now with that, a lot of them now, as we were reading earlier, with the way things going, they're coming back, because a lot of the Chinese workers, I'm reading, his name is Hu. He said the high-tech client of mine that is hiring 5,000 workers weekly in China. A lot of folks now that are leaving the farms are going to high tech, wanting more money. They're seeing a need for more money. So I guess they're trying to raise their wage or their labor. And some is not even coming back to those farms or anything, that cheap sweat house labor.
I got a question.
Yeah.
All great nations were built off of what?
Cheap labor.
Slave labor. Cheap labor.
Slave.
Slave labor. Labor.
Slave labor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Slave labor is what? Free.
Free.
Ooh.
Well, just like Kohan indicated earlier, when you start demanding more money, or when your slaves start demanding more and more money, that requires the cost of goods and services to go up. That requires you to create long-term loans. That requires you to engage in the practices that you hadn't engaged in over a period of time. Well, if you intend on being a great nation and you no longer have free labor, then the only other option is you're going to have to be conniving. Your government then becomes conniving. Your government becomes a force that bamboozle the people back into slavery. And they start selling your birth certificates. J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citi, and the list just goes on and on. You get in bed with the World Bank. You get in bed with the WTO, which is the World Trade Organization. You get in bed with the Rothschilds. It becomes a global concept more so than an American concept.
And I know you're right, because like Brother Paul, that's where it's going. I didn't mean to cut you off, but one night in a class you were teaching on some of our finance, and you asked a question: what three things did we need to know in order to create a slave? You said capitalization, manipulation, and exploitation. And that's where we're looking at now. Even with China, even though China's supposed to be great, they're now being forced to do the same thing with the people who don't want to work for free anymore. So what affects one is now affecting all, Kerry. Not just America's going to stay almost to bankruptcy. I'm looking at this thing now, the Chinese New Year. That's on CNMoney.com. They're talking about what's going to happen the next 15 days, starting February the 3rd, how it's going to affect China. How now when you go in Walmart, rather than say made in China, it says made in Vietnam, made in Bangladesh, made in Indonesia, made in Costa Rica. Your labels are changing, which means now they begin to move the market away now from China to other markets. President Obama was talking with India the other day, and that's one of the things that China feels. What is India's next move?
See, what I found on that was that, you know, obviously we owe China a lot, because what I found in research was that the U.S. imported $334 billion worth of goods from China while exporting only $82 billion to China.
In the same time period.
And then it went on to say that this trade imbalance is one factor keeping Chinese-made goods so cheap in the U.S. Another is the cheap labor. So we owe them so much, that's probably why we allow, you know, so much of their imports while we're not exporting that much to them.
Well, see, China has a law against importing so much to them, and America's trying to get them to sort of loosen the strings. According to the Security Council the other day, was talking on one of the CNN shows.
Mm-hmm.
Was watching it, and that's why the president was over there talking to President Obama. He's trying to get them to loosen up some of their restrictions on import.
Mm-hmm.
They won't let you import so much. But right now we're eating everything Tyler throws. We're buying it. So they're talking about now closing that trade gap some. That's going to create some other problem, because China holds $900 billion of your bonds.
Yeah, they do. They do. That's what I found in research. $900 million worth of bonds.
Bonds, yeah. So they're talking about, well, you need to type. Well, China said, well, wait a minute, you know, I still own this. But as I was looking at this, but at the same time, you got private companies in America that now begin to move their business away from China, going to Vietnam, Indonesia, Bangladesh, and Costa Rica, and even to Southern California.
And as of today, when I check the numbers, the U.S. national debt is at $14 trillion. $63,666,451,691. Now, if we're out there, extended ourselves that far out with the national debt, and almost every state is bankrupt, and God knows how many cities are bankrupt. Where are we really going other than a collapse? And are we headed to war with somebody?
Well, the Americans don't care about no collapse. I mean, the American people don't care about a collapse. I mean, you know, and here's the deal. Think back to, see, we've been conditioned to gather more and more debt. See, your parents teach you or have taught you, go get you some debt. You need some good debt. You need debt. Go finance your car. Go pay for your house. Go get a 30-year note. See, at one point in life, you would build your own house. You'd go get you some lumber, and you'd build your own house from the ground. We've been out of slavery for how long?
We never got out.
About 15 minutes.
We're still in it.
How many cars do you think you would have purchased since the time cars have been produced? And how many do you own today?
Yeah, good question. Good question.
You've been out of slavery for over 100-plus years. How many houses, 30-year note, how many houses do you own today? How much land do you own today?
Those are all good, valid questions.
But instead, what you've done, you've been hoodwinked and bamboozled by the American government and by, as Carolyn indicated, the Rothschilds and the other media outlets, and I'll let you all go into who owns those media outlets. I refuse to go into that. But you've been conditioned that you need to live the life of luxury. You have bought into something called the American dream, and that's exactly what it is. It's a dream. And because you have bought into this dream, you have allowed America to become bankrupt. When you study the American Constitution, in the Declaration, it states that whenever any form of government becomes destructive, it is the right of the people to alter it or abolish it.
That's true. Folks don't realize that. They don't
repeat that one more time. For anybody that missed that, repeat that one more time.
It says, whenever any form of government becomes destructive, it is the right of the people to alter it or abolish it.
Is that what the Tea Party is trying to do?
I don't know if that's what the Tea Party is trying to do or not. I'm talking about what the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence states, that you as individual of this country have a right. If it's not doing, if the people who are in control are not doing what they're supposed to do, you are supposed to take control of it.
Well, I mean, you know, without a revolution, how are you going to do that, though?
Well,
you can do it. You don't have to do it with guns or, you know, or riots or anything like that. You can just stop participating, stop putting your money in the banks, stop buying certain things. It takes, I think, a collective effort, if you can get that, to just
kind of like a boycott.
And doing things, huh?
Like a boycott.
Yeah. You know, like we've had boycotts. You know, Gandhi, he had his deal. Martin Luther King did. You see how well that, you know, how well that did. So it's real simple. The Internet, you know, there are a lot of young people who are out of jobs. They're going to get mad and upset. Well, they don't have to go out in the street. They can do their protests and infiltrate the Internet some kind of way. You know, you have these people that can shut down certain things. So there are things you can do without rioting and guns. And in fact, I wouldn't advise anybody to get out in the streets and do anything like that because people cannot stand up against this powerful military and these guns that our government has.
Very true.
And also, back to the Federal Reserve, and one thing that Americans can do, and like Paul said, we don't have to have a Federal Reserve. You know, I think it was Hoover that signed into being this Federal Reserve Act in 1913. And after he did it, he saw where he really made a mistake and he sold his people out. because all the Federal Reserve does, they just print money, loan it to our government, and then the government pays them interest. Also in the Constitution, we're not supposed to be doing it. The government is supposed to print their own money. And, in fact, it's a dangerous agency because anybody who tries to do away with it will get assassinated. For example, John F. Kennedy. He wrote an executive order, executive act, which was going to put the United States back on, so far as printing their own money. He printed like 5 million silver certificates backed by silver and had put it into circulation and was going to put more in there. Well, the Federal Reserve, they found out about it. Well, they had to make an example out of him because they couldn't have that, so they killed him. Same thing with Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
Same thing. He started printing their own greenbacks. Well, they assassinated him, so they're always going to send a message for future people. If you mess with us, this is what's going to happen. Because if you bring that Federal Reserve down, that's going to help. That's going to change everything. And also about China and the deficit and all that, all the United States has to do is they need to put the tariffs back. I think they had something called they had things in place a long time ago to prevent
right.
what's happening now. They had something called the Glass-Steagall Act. It was two different acts. One, it had to do with banking and brokerage companies would not merge where it had a monopoly like that. That was supposed to be kept separate. And it also had this other act that would put tariffs on goods.
Right.
See, if they put tariffs back on goods that shipped over here to America, then the country's going to have to pay more money to ship their items over here, so it won't be beneficial for those companies to be over there in those other countries. They'll have to end up coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Anyway,
Another thing, China had a 15-year tax moratorium on companies coming over there, and that's about to be done away with. But what is bothering me now, as we were reading last night, is that these states now, they're trying to get a law passed where each state can now go in and file a Chapter 9 bankruptcy, and city and state workers will lose their pension.
They sure do. Oh. Completely. I mean, they're just going to, all the creditors and all the pensions, they won't owe them anymore.
Yeah.
Imagine being a state worker for 25 years thinking you're going to retire on your pension and your Social Security, and Social Security is bankrupt, and then the state that you live in files bankruptcy so that they don't have to pay you the pension.
Now that's going to be interesting. We'll see if
is that not the American way?
We'll see if that happens because the government doesn't have that. They're not going to want that to happen because they also have something else waiting in the wings.
What's that?
To nationalize pension funds where they will take them. Well, they won't just take them over. They're going to come up with some kind of scheme to convince American people that this is good for you. But really they will be taking control of the pension.
It seems like it's almost more beneficial for them to just file the Chapter 9, though, Carol, and just, wipe it out. Then I don't owe you anything, so I ain't got to worry about taking it over. It's mine.
Well, you have to be careful.
Well, the government would take it over because they're going to use that money for something else, for their debt or to do stimulus or whatever.
But it's been done before in 1994,
which
you read last night. Orange County, California did it in 94, and they filed a Chapter 9, and it was supported, and they didn't pay nobody.
Yeah, well, people are going to lose. No matter what happens, they're going to lose in the end when it comes to the pension
right.
and all that. And when Argentina collapsed, the last time they had a collapse, the government needed money. They said, we need money. They just took everybody's pension fund. They just stole it. So you don't have any. It's ours now. So if something's going to happen, people are not going to have pensions. A long time ago, when my dad worked, he worked for a company. They didn't have a pension plan. It's whatever the company decide to give you when you decide to retire. A lot
wow.
of people had to save money. They didn't have all. It wasn't like this. So it's going to go back to that, really, I feel.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLAC 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic, Who Bankrupt America, Part 2. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, call in at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight. Mr. A.J. Houston is manning the chat room, so you can post up your questions or comments, and Mr. Houston will bring them to the panel. You know, let's recap for all of those who didn't hear the last show. Because anybody who's listening tonight who hasn't, or today, who hasn't heard the show, Who Bankrupt America Part 1, what should somebody do if they wake up tomorrow and, you know, they say, okay, America's bankrupt, which is something we pretty much have already decided it's going to happen. What should they be doing, or what should they do today to prepare for that time? What did we say in the last show that they should be doing?
Well, my suggestion is it's time for us as people to reprioritize our priorities and start looking more to self or self-survival, quit depending on somebody to do for you what you can do for yourself. What we begin to do is work toward putting things aside for us to survive, where you don't be so dependent on the government or the state. As Paul so eloquently spoke about a while ago, you know, we got to go back to what we did yesterday and for survival, because right now we're too dependent on the city, the system, to do for us what we need to do for ourselves.
And, Carol, what did you say about stockpiling food? What did you say on the last show about that?
I said that it can be very expensive. The Nation of Islam, they've talked about this for decades, preparation. And so, as I said, it can be expensive, but what people can do is every time you go to the store, just pick up extra cans of tuna, extra cans of salmon. I mean, they have dates on them, but you have to store them and arrange your pantry and, you know, rotate it. You need to get a water filter so that you can filter your water. Something should happen to the water system. You should even have extra water in your house if something should happen. Not just necessarily collapse, but even if there's some kind of catastrophe or something like that. If the electricity goes out, then what are you going to do? You need to get a generator. They have gas generators. They have solar generators. Because if you can't get gas, then the generator's not going to work. But if you have a solar generator or a solar panel, you can get energy from the sun, and it will still run lights and those kind of things. You need to get, if you take certain medicines, you need to try to get maybe medicines. I think the maximum amount you can get is for 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get more than you would normally have, because if something happens, you don't have it. Also, you should have some type of natural alternative things to do if you don't have your high blood pressure medicine or whatever. You know, there's natural things you can do, because when all this happens and every time that they've had a collapse or major catastrophes, you read back through history, some kind of plague always follows.
That's right.
So you're gonna have to be your own doctor. You're gonna have to. In fact, people need to get healthy now. You need to have a strong immune system. You need to start eating healthier. I mean, it's really a lot. And let me say one more thing, and then I'll stop talking. Also, with the money situation, I'm not saying this is a guarantee, but you know, our money is nothing but paper. But you know, in the Bible, although I'm not saying that's my book, but there are a lot of things in there that are good things in the Bible, but it talks about gold and silver, because that's a metal. I mean, it's a commodity that's in the earth, you know. And so some people buy gold and silver with some of their dollars, so that if they come in with a new currency or whatever they come in with, can exchange it for the new money, or you can use it to barter with, because people know what gold and silver is. And so that's just some things. Maybe Paul has something else to add.
Yeah, Paul, from an economic standpoint, what can they do?
Well, from an economic perspective, when I see anything, I'll see dollars. Okay. So from an economic perspective, what I'm going to tell you to do is I'm going to tell you to go back to the basics, just like Kohan indicated. you need to understand how to build or how to produce cement. You need to understand how to dig holes so that you can dispose of waste properly. You need to understand how to generate light, whether that's through windmill, whether or not that whether or not that's through solar. You need to understand how to purify water. You really need to go back to a concept of Maslow, hierarchy of needs. You got to understand these basic principles. You got to turn off the Wii game. You got to turn off the PlayStation, the television, the radio, the TV. You got to turn off all of these things that's corrupting your mind and get back to focusing on the things that can build not only yourself, but potentially your family as well as a nation. Because the direction that we're going, many people are going to be homeless, without jobs, no place to stay. They don't know how to. You need to learn how to produce fire so that you can heat yourself. You need to learn how to dig wells. You need to. Knowledge is one of the most key. Is the key source to survival.
Oh yeah.
And with I know you have listeners all over the country, but in the state of Texas is looking at a $25 billion shortfall. They're talking about literally closing down libraries. You need to gain as much knowledge as you possibly can. So Carol indicated that you need to gather a better health. You need to, you know, we always talk about Big Mama said rub some liniment on it on your arm and it'll feel better, right? You need to go and get you a book called Natural Cures.
Natural what?
Cures.
Cures, okay, gotcha.
Like you cure yourself?
Right.
Okay. You got to understand the herbs that exist. You got to learn to start putting knowledge into your brain that you can use to survive. Right now what you're doing is you're leeching off the system. This is what, again, we talk about who bankrupted America. You did because you're not self-sufficient.
Let me ask something, because y'all often refer to the book Protocol. In Protocol, did it say anything about setting up a system of credit so that we would come to this day?
No, Protocol talks about how to bankrupt you by taking away that system of credit.
Yeah. By doing what?
By taking away that system of credit, because they say you rely on us for how we raise in value and increase he said, we'll give the world, we'll take the gold to them and give you paper money, and we will control the value system, so you won't have no credit with them.
Wow.
And you know, it said in Protocol that gold is the god of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They plainly
gold
say
is the god of Israel.
Gold is the god or the lord of Israel.
Wow.
They say it belongs to them. And they don't teach you how, because their point is to what? Take over and to control and to make you a slave.
I also wanted to bring up a point that we made in the last show. We found out who the top 10 countries and entities were that were holding U.S. debt. That was Japan, China, the United Kingdom, oil exporters, Caribbean banking centers, Brazil, Hong Kong, Russia, Luxembourg, and Taiwan. And so when you got people that you owe money to, it's just like anything else. I have to be nice to you if I owe you.
Not necessarily.
You don't think so?
Not necessarily. I ain't got to like you to get along with you. But I'm also trying to find a way to get out from under your foot.
But when I owe you this much money, at some point I might start to get a little, you might start to get a little antsy. So wouldn't I need to be extremely nice to you because – you know, the debt is rising, you know, higher and higher, and yet I don't have any way of paying you back?
What did Cuba do to America?
Mm-hmm.
What did Cuba do to, what did Fidel tell the president? Your money is no good over here.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And cut them slap off.
Wow.
And they can refuse.
In Cuba, there is no new cars in Cuba.
There's no new cars in Cuba?
1955 is about the latest model over there.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah. Now, why is that? What's the rule on
because
that?
Because they don't want to become dependent on America and Russia.
So they don't produce cars, so therefore you don't get anything
with
them.
Hey, come on, they got bicycles and stuff. And I like what Paul was saying, so if you come where you no longer depend on somebody, they can't control you.
That's right.
And they and Fidel told America, we do not need your money's no good over here. We don't want it.
Karen, let me ask you a question. I sensed that you chuckled a little bit when he indicated a 1955 car. What's wrong with driving in a 1955 car if you are not under debt?
You know what? And I totally agree with that. I mean, you know what? I totally agree with that. My point is, what happens though when you drive an older model car is eventually it's hard to find the parts for those cars. I do know that. So if you've got an old Chevrolet and they're no longer producing the parts for that car, would that make it hard to maintain that car?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. The engine's going to collapse at some point, right?
Remember, that they're in Cuba. They got plenty of old parts.
Okay.
In Cuba, they may not trade with America, but they get things from Russia and some of the other countries.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, say what, Carol?
I mean, they get other things from other countries, even though they don't get it from the United States.
That's true.
But I also want to add this, too. People need to ask themselves this question. If I don't have a job tomorrow, what will I do? What would it be like for me? That's what people need to do. And that's going to tell you a lot about how you would survive if something should happen.
But the average person today is so connected to the microwave generation that everything is texting and instant microwave and instant, you know, push a button and you have whatever you need. I don't think the average person is equipped to go into survival mode overnight.
And he'll be a culture cat.
Well, they won't be, but they still need to ask themselves that question because that's what's going to happen. I mean, that's a wake-up call, you know.
Yeah.
Because you need to start doing something. I mean, something's better than nothing, even if you have a few cans of whatever, because when this stuff comes down, they're not going to be able to go knock on somebody's door and say, can you help me? Because nobody's going to be helping. Everybody's going to be for themselves, unless you have something to offer.
Hmm.
You know?
I agree. So, Barbara,
right. Why would I want to share with you if I've been telling you for the last 10 to 15 years that you need to save some money, and then all of a sudden when it all hits the fan, you want to come leech off of me?
Sister Carrie.
Yes, sir.
I asked you to, I know some of the talent I have. When Denzel came out with the movie Eli, have y'all seen it yet?
I have not seen it.
Oh, great.
You need to see
great.
Eli.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Eli is a prime example of what happened when things fall beyond where money is no good. When you go to barter, and water was the most valuable mineral was water, clean water. I watched the movie again the other night, the wife and I, and we saw. I'm going like, oh my goodness.
Now tell me this: what did they do for water when water was scarce?
They had to barter for water because one man controlled the water, controlled the town.
Mm. Okay, so supply and demand.
Supply and demand. And this man had control of the water, and he had his guys watching, and they was killing anybody trying to get to it. You had to come through him to get clean. And that was just to get a container, a canteen.
I think I asked, I don't remember if it was Mr. Paul or I've asked Kohan this. What happens tomorrow or Monday when we open our newspapers and they tell us that the FDIC has collapsed? Mr. Paul, what happened?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. If you look in the year 2011, we're only, 22 days into the month, is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. If you go out to their site, that quote-unquote FDIC, I think what you'll find is upwards of about 11 banks done
already closed.
This year?
Yeah, yep. This year.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So when the quote-unquote FDIC is no longer in operation to take on those responsibilities or take on that limited amount of debt.
Now, I'm sorry, we didn't even clarify. Tell them who the FDIC is.
It's the Federal Reserve Insurance Department, what it is.
Right. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. That's what it stands for.
And that's owned by the federal government. But now, check this out. Just yesterday, China is now bargaining trying to buy all those branches, bank branches in America. They're trying to buy them.
But all
that
was
yesterday. China have already started trying to buy banks branches in America.
But see, my question though, still though, if it collapses tomorrow, then doesn't that leave everyone who has a quarter in the bank unsecured?
Anything
yes.
above $250,000.
No,
let
it
me
leaves everybody.
This.
I'm saying if the FDIC collapses.
Oh well, then you're stuck. No insurance. Your money's gone.
Let me add this about the the FDIC.
Mm-hmm.
It first came about back in the last depression because they had a lot of bank runs.
Mm-hmm.
They came up with a scheme. Well, let's tell them that we'll start this insurance company that will back their money, and we'll slap this little title on the outside of the bank, and they'll feel comfortable in putting their money back in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
That insurance company only has so much money.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot insure everybody's. Now, right now, they say they used to insure deposits, I think, for $100,000, $150,000.
Yes.
Well, now they insure supposedly for $250,000. But if everybody goes and draws their money out of the bank, that's a bank run, they don't have enough deposits to – they don't have enough insurance to insure those deposits. That sign or that organization is just making people feel comfortable, and it's just a – false information make people think that my money's covered, but it's a lie.
Wouldn't that be
really?
The easiest way, though, to just suck the wealth right out of this country?
Well, that's what's happening. It's gone.
Yeah, they're sucking it.
Yeah. And I was surprised to see that China even made a bid to buy those banks, those branches of banks, that's going under, which means your FDIC, like you said, don't have enough money, because if their money's low, so they're going to sell your note, your bank to somebody who's got money.
But are we looking at the same thing with the banks that we saw happen in the mortgage industry? All the smaller brokers were basically forced out, allowing only the big banks pretty much to do mortgages.
That's where it is in your new world order.
Huh?
That's your new world order. It's that same thing.
So they're pushing all the small guys out. Therefore, all we have is like three or four really big, strong banks?
That's where it's going.
I didn't have a monopoly on everything.
Yeah.
But then, when we see situations like that, then we know we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everything is designed where three or four people are running it, that means that we have no control, basically. We either do what they say or we have no other option. Right?
That's nothing new. That's been around a long time.
But it's going.
You
so,
don't have
I think,
to do
I
what nobody tells
is,
you to do.
No.
You say what?
You don't have to participate. You don't have to participate.
But if you don't have a bank account, what can you do? I mean, everything
you don't
is
have
going
to
pay.
Have your money in the bank. A long time ago, people didn't trust the banks. After that happened back in the last depression, people stopped putting money in the banks. They'd rather have it under their mattress. That's why they came up with that FDIC to make people feel comfortable. But people really, in like safe deposit boxes, people think that that's safe. No, if the government shuts the bank down or freezes or whatever, then it's going to be a guard standing there when you open up your safe deposit box. And if it's anything of, like gold, silver, whatever is in there, they're going to take that. It's really theirs. They think all of this is theirs anyway.
Mr. Paul, you said something one time about the credit system. And you were saying that, everybody's owing more than they can pay and all this other. Okay, that being said, explain the whole scenario you told me one time about when I don't pay my credit card debt, where does that leave everything?
Right. Okay. So you go and you deposit $100 into the bank. Well, in all actuality, what happens is the bank then based on the new federal laws that have been put in place, the banks are now able to loan up to 6 to 10 times the amount of money that you put into the bank, which is causing you to attain your American dream. I hope I explained that without getting too complicated, because this could get real complicated very easily.
go ahead, get complicated.
Well, so what happens is when you default on, or when you go to the bank and you ask, and they've done this a long time ago. First, Carol, would you explain, because I think you do a much better job than me when trying to explain the whole gold scenario, how when they once had, you know, the bankers would once hold all of the gold and write out notes on the gold.
Well, originally, Rothschild, many centuries ago, whenever they came about, the first Rothschild, I think he was a goldsmith. I'm trying to...
It was.
Your goldsmith. Yeah, goldsmith. Then he started wearing it, yeah.
Yeah. And I think he began... and I guess he noticed that people were not coming. I'm trying to remember the story. Y'all kind of remember it?
Yeah, basically what happened was all of the people had all of their gold, and they wanted their gold to be protected so nobody would steal it from them. So they would take the gold to the goldsmith, and the goldsmith would then hold all of the gold. And the gold would sit there for years and years, and people would come back and check on their gold, and the gold was still there. Well, the gold, so, you know, you had people who wanted to borrow money from the goldsmith, and he had his little gold in there, and he would loan them money based off of, and the note would be based off, backed by the gold that was held by the goldsmith. Well, so what happened was the goldsmith got this bright idea and said, well, you know what? All of these other idiots leaving their gold here, and they know that I'm protecting it. I'll write out additional notes off of their gold without them ever knowing about it. Okay, so eventually they got wind of it and said, hey, look here, Mr. Goldsmith, we want part of the pie too. So the goldsmith said, okay, well, I'm sorry, after he done made all of these billions and billions of dollars off of them without them ever knowing it, he said, okay, I'll let you in on it. I'll only give you a small fraction of the piece of the pie since I'm taking most of the risk. Now, this is an actual real story now, so don't think that I'm making none of this stuff up, okay? So anyway, he cut them in on a little piece of the pie. Well, at some point, he had more notes out there than there was actually gold. So the people kind of got scared, and guess what happened? They went to the goldsmith and said, hey, I want all my gold. Mm-hmm. So what was the notes worth?
Nothing.
Nothing. So the financial powers said, the next time we got to try and figure this out, we got to make sure that we get it right. So they said, well, you can only loan money up to a certain amount based on an average bank account. Okay, your average dollar amount within the bank. Okay, so if your average daily balance was $1,000, then I could loan up to $9,000 on your $1,000. Well, when I loan up to $9,000 on $1,000, and let's just say, for instance, you decide to come and take your money out, your $1,000 out, and five of that $9,000 forfeited on the loans, we only have $4,000 left. But we still got $5,000 that's out there that's accounted for. Somebody has to account for that debt.
So
you have this magnitude, when you escalate this on billions and billions of dollars, which when you look at the housing market, when you factor in the cost of inflation, when you factor in the cost of people no longer working anymore, when you factor in the cost of goods and services going up, it collapses an economy.
Okay.
We no longer deal in the fashion of cash and carry.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we want this. I promise you I'll pay you in the future because I'm working right now.
Yeah, that's
and we bought into this system.
Honor system.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people who are getting played or getting messed over, screwed over, is yourself and I.
Now, you would think it's the bank because they're not recouping their money.
Who is the bank?
That's us. Okay, gotcha.
Paul.
Yes.
Paul, I got a question that, and I read this in one of our books. What product does the bank produce where it has a right to control the money? What product does it produce? They don't produce no cotton, no oil. So what is the product they produce?
They produce anything.
They produce paper.
No,
yeah, that's
service.
Wrong. Well, they
just
don't produce
service.
That either.
Yeah.
That's a service. We'll hold your money for you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They have carefully produce no products, no goods whatsoever.
Right.
Yet they control the money.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Kohan Yashibuya, you have this great example that you do, and I love it every time you do it, when you talk about the dollar. For those who never heard Kohan talk about the dollar and what it really is, break that down for us one more time.
I'm trying to figure which one you're talking about. I have a lot of scenarios.
Sorry, when you explain the fact that the dollar is really not money, it's really a note.
Oh, yeah, well, I tell them, you look at the dollar bill, on the front side, it says Federal Reserve note. Under there, it says at the bottom, it says, this is a note good for private, for public and private debt, comma. And it leaves the last open end, open, no period. So it's open ended. It's not complete. It's an incomplete sentence, which means it's no good.
So you say it's an IOU?
It's an IOU. And that belongs, did you not know it's a law against you writing on dollar bills? That belongs to the federal government. You can be charged with a felony account by marking on it.
So I heard it's like monopoly money or
it is monopoly money, but the same about it, guess who owns the monopoly money? The Federal Reserve. It's theirs.
And see, we established in the last show that the Federal Reserve is owned by all those banks that Carol mentioned earlier, and the Federal Reserve also owns the media. So that tells you if there's anything that's going to go wrong with the banking system, seeing that the banking system now is just a few big players. And so these big players pretty much own the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve owns the media. If there is a problem with the currency, if something is going wrong, who is going to tell us?
Well, see, the thing about it, you remember in protocol, you and I read one night, the three P's, purse, press, politics?
Yes.
They own the purse, they own the press, which is the media, and they own the politicians.
How likely are we to go to war over this whole national debt thing? I mean, how likely is it?
What you mean?
Huh?
Repeat that again.
How likely are we to end up going to war over what we owe?
It depends on if you want to stop paying or not.
At some point, you owe me so much, I really just want to say, listen, just give me what you owe me and let's stop. So
see,
we know that's going to happen eventually.
And I think Paul and Karen, we all discussed it one night in the class, with America being a cash cow, and she's got so many people that you know, it's like I'm going to use this term, it's like a cow with piglets. Everybody's nursing on the sow. When you're out of milk, then what?
We're going
to
go to war.
The cow runs out of milk. We go to war. I mean, when she's out of milk, can't produce, what do they do then? They attack her.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Who is ready?
Some of y'all not been around farms. But a lot of times when little pigs grow up and the mother can't give them milk, they attack her.
No, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah.
So they're demanding. So they're demanding that she produce the milk.
Yeah, and she's not. So then they start taking her around the pen, and they really give her a hard time.
Okay, when I asked the question, Paul, are we ready? I was meaning, is America ready if we get attacked?
She's going to have to get her ready. She's already ready. But another thing I'm seeing, panel, is this. A lot of people get without jobs. He's calling. Everybody's the homeless at home. You've heard of that?
The homeless at home?
Yeah, they're moving in with family. They're on the couch.
Okay.
Moving back home. Homeless
right.
at home. You know. And now, believe it or not, and the Bible says this, and people don't like it, in Isaiah 4:1, it's going to come a time when there'll be seven women and one man. People are now taking on multiple because of the economy.
Now, you did not tie that to the economy.
I most certainly did because he said, I will buy my own food, buy my own clothes, let me wear your name. Let us move in together. That's what it amounts to. Read it.
So you mean all seven women going to be living in the house with the one man?
People coming in together. It's all about economics. It ain't about what people think. It's about economics.
Divorce rate to go down.
Carol Blair, what
would
you say
about
that?
I want to add something. You said, well, when will people know that, I guess, it's, when it's going to be a collapse or whatever, something like that you said.
Right.
Really, the power at me, they put out information for people to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not a secret. Their God is they have to tell what they're going to do before they do it. Now, they just don't come out and say, oh, the dollar's going to collapse. But they're going to come out some kind of way to put little buzzwords out there. If you listen to the news, some places they are saying now, well, the dollar's losing value. I was listening to one show. They're talking about this new global currency called the Bancor. They put out information for people to see, and they have to do it before they're going to do what they're going to do. And also back to the money that Cole was talking about, the Federal Reserve. At one time, the money was backed by gold and silver. And back in the last depression, people walked around with gold coins.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, your dollars, you could redeem them at the bank and get a gold coin for the money that you had. You get silver coins. But then they, Franklin Roosevelt did some kind of executive order for everybody to turn on all their gold and silver. We don't have people walking around with gold and silver because they've been taught that it's an old relic that you don't need it. But anyway, they collected all the gold and silver because the government needed the gold and silver. Nixon took us off the silver standard in 71.
Mm.
So the money wasn't backed by anything. So it's been like money just floating on the sea. It's just paper. It's not worth anything really except for what the people feel that it's worth. What's holding it up now is the confidence that people have in the money.
Hmm.
But that's gradually now eroding away, gradually. The other countries, they already know that it's worthless. And they're telling their people, China, India, they're buying lots of gold and silver, lots of it, because they know what's getting ready to happen. We're the only dummies over here that know or don't want to see.
We're selling ours. And other people are buying it.
There is no gold in Fort Knox.
Well, we're not selling ours.
No, meaning like when we see these commercials on TV that says Dallas Gold and Silver, bring us your silver, and black folks are running there in groves selling their gold and silver.
Yeah, and they're doing the wrong thing. And see, I'm going to tell you this. Another key thing to watch, you know, things are getting ready to turn so far as the gold and silver. When you start seeing all those advertisements on TV about turn your gold, you can get money for gold or whatever. When they start, that tells you right there they're trying to collect everybody's gold in a underhanded way because they're melting it down. Also, on the shows, they're beginning to talk about gold and silver just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
See, it goes through stages, their trends, and what they're getting ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
They convince you not to do it while they're over there buying everything up that they can. When they're ready for you to start doing it, it's really too late. And after a while, you're going to notice they're going to start talking about gold and silver all the time, just like in the last internet.com trend we had a long time ago. When they start talking about it, your Bob will start talking about gold and silver that he's buying it. Then it's time to sell because you're at the last stage, just like a frenzy. And what they're going to do, the powers that be, they're going to sell some of their gold and silver because America's going to be on sale cheaply, and they're going to go and buy up everything else that everybody else has lost for pennies on the dollar. So in the last depression, the same thing happened. But the people who could see, like us, which it was a few, those people got wealthy, too, because they knew what was happening, and they did the same thing, too. They bought up everything that was on sale. Real estate. See, real estate now, it hasn't bottomed out, but it's going to. They use the same plan over and over again. They don't ever have to change it because they know the public, Americans are dumb, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think. They don't analyze. They don't read. So they can play the same game, and it's been done for centuries over and over again.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHC's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic, Part 2 of Who Bankrupt America. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And, again, press 1. A reminder, AJ is manning the chat room tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, post it up in chat, and AJ will present it to the panel. Listen, we're hearing a lot about people losing their 401Ks to Ponzi schemes and this type of thing. And we're hearing now about the pension funds being at risk. Any ideas from anyone as to what somebody can do if they're holding a 401K or if they're holding a pension account right now and concerned about, or have a pension account or think they have a pension account that they're going to be able to retire on? What do they do?
Well, they try to take it out. They're in trouble because there's no money there to even recognize it.
You mean on the
401Ks? Mm-hmm. No, that's only on paper. A friend of mine just got back from Afghanistan. She was in charge of a budget, or she was a budget director, like something about 1. Something billion dollars that they were using. She said, and there's no currency. It's all on paper.
Wow.
So even your 401K is only on what? Paper. You go try to get it. You go to the bank. Go to the bank tomorrow and ask them to show you your account. They're going to turn the computer around and show you some numbers, but they're not going to show you the money.
They will not show you the money.
Well, I want to see my money. Show me my money. I want to put my hands on it. They're going to show you a computer printout of what is supposed to be in there.
You saying
well, the 401Ks, I mean, a person can draw the money out. They're going to have to pay a penalty.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Pay the penalty now. Rather than losing it all, man, when they take it out, they don't need to just keep paper money. They either need to pay their house off, pay their debt off. They need to do something with it so they can see what's happened with their money. They should take some of it. And I'm not advising people what to do financially. I'm just throwing these ideas out. You can take some of it and buy some gold and silver. Like I said, you can buy some properties. I mean, real estate's gone down. They haven't bought them out yet. But, you know, there's stuff out there you can do. But 401Ks, oh, and also it's invested in the stock market. So if you don't get it out, most people have lost half of their 401K money anyway.
That's right.
Hmm.
Well, when the stock market goes down again, and it is going to go down, they're going to lose the rest of it. So my thing is if you lost your job, and you left your money in your 401K. If it were me, I would take mine out.
Mr. Paul, what should they do?
Well, I have to be real careful with this particular question, but as Ms. Carol indicated, I think that one of the things that you got to look at, first and foremost, I am definitely not giving anybody any advice as it relates to their own personal financial situation. But I will say this, if you talk about taking your money out, you need to look at penalties, you need to look at incurring additional income that you will have to report to the IRS. Those are some things that you need to look at. I do think that you need to really take a good strong look at restructuring your financial portfolio. I think that having precious metals is really not a bad option right now. But I personally think that you need to stop participating in the system first and foremost. I think you need to stop contributing to 401Ks and start looking at other avenues to invest your money. If you don't have another avenue to invest your money, I think you need to put it up under your mattress, dig a hole, put it in a can, do something else with it other than put it in the stock market and senseless products that will yield zero return.
But if your employer basically strong-arms you to get in a 401K, what can you do?
Nobody can force you to get into nothing.
But they can kind of nudge you a little bit.
Well, they can nudge all they want to. And they do that by telling you, well, we'll match it by 5%, 2%, and, you know. Again, I'm going to plead the fifth on this one.
Let me ask y'all the panel something. They were talking about privatizing, or there has been talk in the past about privatizing Social Security. Should people really start trying to force the government to privatize Social Security, seeing the way that things are going?
Well I say this again. I want to See, in order to really understand Social Security, we have to address who is on Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have all of these children who are on Social Security, you all have to help me out because SSI, disability,
yep,
all of that, does it come out the same pot?
It's all tied in.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. And so when we start talking about all of these people who getting checks, right, we start talking about all of these children who have Down syndrome. We start talking about all of these fathers who have children who they were killed, whether or not it was on the streets of L.A., Michigan, Dallas, New York, wherever that is. We talk about all the children who are, fathers and mothers who've been killed in the military, and the list just kind of goes on. Aren't all these people on Social Security?
On subsidies,
yeah. See, so my question again, and who's going to pay for this?
Are we paying for it, aren't we?
Well, what I was told, and this is Cohen, that for every person that is on one of these federal so-called programs, it took years ago at least 13-1. We're down now to 3-1. That's why I say it's running out. The baby boomers are living longer, and a lot of them are retiring earlier. So they're saying the money is being drained. But we know that they dipped into the cookie jar when Bush was in president and got some money out to help out. That's why you talk about privatizing it and going like that. Galveston, Texas, they privatized their pension fund, and they're getting more money out of their pension than you ever get out of Social Security.
Karen, you had indicated, you say, we are paying for this, right? Isn't that what you indicated?
I think I did, yes.
Okay. How are you paying for something and you had a national debt of $14 trillion?
How am I paying for? Well, I mean, you know what? Don't get me wrong. We're paying. Somebody's just sucking the back end out. I mean, it's kind of like sticking it in a fan and it gets sucked out the back. I don't know where it's going, but we're paying into it. We're just not seeing it, right?
And privatizing is not the answer either, because they prioritized companies to go over there in Afghanistan and Iraq. And the military used to do all those jobs, which they weren't out that much money to do it. But when you privatize, that opens it up for scams, for people to take advantage of the money. They're
off.
Not doing it to do anything good for you.
Yeah.
And when Bush said that, a red flag went, because what he wanted to do was give some money to his partners in the brokerage firms and all that. All they were going to do is put it in the stock market. It's going to be lost anyway, but their friends were going to end up getting it rather than, the people.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines. Area code 469-556. Good afternoon. You're on Center Stage.
Hello.
Hey, DeWan. How are you?
Karen.
Yes, sir.
Did they explain to you that America is an incorporation? It is not a country. It is not a race of people. It is none of that above. When it was first founded by the 72 forefathers, and they said, we the people, they opened the first, they always Masons, so they opened the first chamber of their lodge up to the people at that time. That's what they did. They were calling themselves federal party then they became the federal government. Those 72 forefathers, if you trace the history, all of those 72 that signed that Declaration of Independence, when they said we the people, that's who they was talking about. This is an incorporation, and you have to know that America first is an incorporation. It is not a country ran by big businesses. And right now, they done gambled all the money off, because the stock market is nothing but a big gambling machine. And right now, the money that you say that's good, that money is no good. They're just shuffling money. Paul can explain that to you, how they just shuffle money and put it here and put this here and put that there. This place is broken. The Tricons, and I know Cole said something about, we're going to see, Karen. For 15 days, the Tricons, they gonna shut down for their New Year's. So we're going to see in this next 15 days how actually do this affect the American economy. Me and you can watch this. I mean, everybody in my class, we're going to watch how this 15 days of this Chinese New Year coming in. See, everybody celebrates America's New Year, but it ain't their New Year. But everybody celebrated. Have you noticed that? They celebrate and give honor to the beast, as your scriptures say, but don't nobody believe in the calendar that you're on, and the calendar is a secret because we're on the Julian calendar, which is the Babylonian calendar. They started time all over again, and that's another show how they did that. But all of this plays in the factor of knowing how did America get bankrupt, and then the Tricoms, which is China. Remember, China was the leading country once upon a time, so history just repeats itself.
Really? Well, what could America do today to stop the bleeding? What could they do to
you fix? You can't do nothing. You are in the trap. The best thing that you can do is know how to get yourself together and look out for your family. And that's what I tell everybody. It's been going on for 450 years, so you can't stop what's been going on ever since the 1800s, the 1400s. You can't stop that.
Well, we know you're a survivalist. What do you suggest that somebody needs to be doing? Carol gave us some tips as to how we need to prepare for what's coming. What do you say we should do?
Well, I know I'm talking, and you told me to stay away from it, but the book say build your vineyards.
Tell them
what it says, Cole. You know that book better than me.
In the book of Jeremiah, it tells you to plant your vineyards, build your house, and increase your numbers, and pray for the peace of the city.
Wow. So that's what we should be doing.
Know what it says. Plant your vineyards, build your house, increase your numbers, and pray for the peace of the city. Those four things it told you to do.
But, you know, Kohan, you and I discussed this, I think, earlier this week. There are so many people that live in apartment dwellings, and they don't even have any land to plant a vineyard. So what did you suggest that they should do if they don't have any space to plant?
Create a community co-op for your gardens. Come up with co-ops. Do like the dope do and do. Go on the ground. Plant some stuff on the ground. Get some lights. You are very inventive people. We are survivors. We are the agricultural people of the world. The real people, and we will survive. Know what grass you can eat. Know what nuts you can eat. Know what you can do. Know what box you can drink water off of.
Yeah.
You got to know Mother Earth again. Get back to the 12 laws of nature. I tell them to do that. Get back to the laws of nature, and she will see us through.
Let me ask the NAFTA agreement. I think that came in under Bill Clinton. Do you think that hurt us more than anything?
What was
anybody
that?
On the panel?
What on the bill?
That NAFTA agreement that came under, was it a treaty or a bill? I don't know, that came under Bill Clinton. Remember NAFTA?
Man, it was not Bill, it was Ronald Reagan.
It started under Ronald Reagan.
Deregulation, Ronald Reagan, 1988, I'm going to forget it.
Remember Bill Clinton, it became popular maybe again?
Remember, he only followed what Reagan already started.
Okay. Did that hurt us more than anything?
Of course it hurt you because you lost control of a lot of your main businesses and corporations. It broke your unions. It broke a lot. It made you free base.
So why would our own country sign an agreement like that?
Because they were greedy.
So they sold us out.
They're greedy. Like we tell you all day, America, the corporation, United States Corporation, Inc., is greedy.
That was all about labor.
It was all about labor.
All about labor.
Okay.
All about labor. And you're right, Cole. It was Reagan. The only thing Clinton did was sign it into action.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he did.
Okay.
All about labor. Cheap slave labor.
So then they sold us out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
we thought it was good, though, King, because a lot of us were truck owners because we was fighting with the unions to get better wages on our freight, and all it did made it cheaper.
Carrie, if you don't mind, if I could go back, you asked a question regarding people who live in apartments, people who don't have resources or land, who put you in those situations?
You did.
No way. You know that's neither here nor there because they're there. I mean, a lot of people have recently lost their homes, or some people have never even been able to afford a home. So I don't know that you should, you know, go there, should you?
Why shouldn't I?
I'd like to add something.
Okay.
People living in apartments,
yes,
there's
yes.
something called earth boxes.
Right.
And you can order them online, and you can grow
I'm
tomatoes. I have like six of them. I mean, I have a backyard, but I tried it. You can grow squash, you can grow anything, and they don't cost that much. So just because you live in an apartment doesn't mean that you can't grow anything. And,
okay,
so
are y'all saying get those lamps like they do when they're growing weed indoors?
Topsy-turvies out there, you can get them.
Father, who I call Abba Yah with all my mind,
That's the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. Now, if I'm doing that, I ain't got no time for nobody else. You understand
why
you're
mad? I
believe in that first commandment, but this stuff is so far gone right now. Most people in East Texas, that's from East Texas, got land down there. Mm-hmm. If you got land in East Texas, I'm going to suggest some things for you to do. Go down there on your mama's land. Don't sell it. If there's some wells down there, clean them wells out and put you a pump in there, a generator.
Wow.
You don't have to even do that. You can draw the water like we used to do with the buckets, you know, in the rope. But you go down and fix your grandma and your auntie's place up down in East Texas so you can have a refuge place. The Bible clearly tells you that when that day comes, you can't live in the city. You can't be in the city. So it's a lot of information in y'all's Bible. If you would read it and take heed to it, then it would tell you how to survive what's coming.
And just pick it up and read it, huh? We're down to our last 30 minutes in this segment. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHC's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for today's topic, part two of Who Bankrupt America. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, A.J. Houston is in the chat room today, so if you're listening via the Internet, post your questions or comments in the chat room, and A.J. will present them to the panel. Yes, sir.
I wish that you all could come down to Tallulah and just walk around. We've got black folks here walking around hungry, and the Vietnamese are planting guards all alongside the railroad track. On their own food outside the railroad tracks, on 3 or 4 feet here, 2 feet, a line here. And the way we ride by, we laugh. Because the people walk around there bigger than the Vietnamese who running business, going their own food behind their place of business, downside the railroad track. I'm serious. You can just walk by and see them taking care of their gardens.
See, so it's us that are not in survival mode. The other people or other groups have already got into survival mode.
That's right. Down here, we all wear camouflage. We got our hunting guns, black and white, back down here. And they love fishing. Now, everybody got a boat down here, look like.
We're going to go back to the phone lines. Area code 214-457. Good afternoon. You're on Center Stage. Hello? 214-457. Good afternoon. You're on Center Stage. We dropped that call. I apologize. Some kind of way hit the wrong button there. But let's talk about a YouTube video that Kohan and I saw this week. A lady by the name of Colleen Thomas posted a YouTube video under the name Operation Black Swan, and it went on to say killing birds and fish and people, something to that effect on the YouTube video. Kohan, you want to tell them what that video was all about?
She was talking about the chemtrails, which blew the water. Everybody knew about the chemtrails. How they was pausing the air about the birds dying and what was going on with the fish, how we were being mind controlled. She went on to explain the thing. Also, she got us to another area dealing with the alien forces that's operating on the planet now.
I told Kohan that's where she lost me at when she started talking about aliens. But Kohan said that maybe you need to explain that a little better than I probably could, Kohan.
I said, the problem is people don't want to believe, but your Bible further talks about aliens coming to the planet, taking it over, and controlling things. The Bible talks about the Nephilim, the Zimzimans, the Anakins, the Anunnakians. These are aliens. The Bible talks about it all the time, mixing and breeding, and it's here.
She tied in that to what's going on, too. She tied it into the currency as well on that video, did she not?
Everything is being manipulated and controlled. That was a group called the Custodial Gods. It's in a book by William B. Bromley. William Bromley talks about it. So does Zachariah Stitchin talk about it in their books. We are so naive to think that we're the only people in the galaxy. There are other beings in this galaxy. The Tertullians, they all are here. And I tell people all the time, and this may sound a little far-fetched, but you need to read your Bible with a different perspective rather than being a religious book, because it's not a religious book. It's a book of information if you understand it correctly. The devil in the Bible that supposedly met Eve is one called Kasi Quarto. He's the same one that met Montezuma down in South America. These are alien forces. The Dogons talks about the dog people, the stars, Cyrus. Your Bible talk about this new planet. They talked about King and the Son, the 13th planet. It's already in the book.
Okay, if you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. We're going to go back to the phone lines. I'm going to try to pick up again, 214-457. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
Hey, Carrie, it's Mahir.
Hi, Mahir. How are you?
Good, good, good. You guys have got a pretty interesting show on. I'm not sure who all is actually still there on the panel. I know Co is, and
the whole gang
is
here.
There. Who?
The whole gang is here.
Roy's on also?
No, we have not seen Roy today yet.
Hell, the whole gang is here. Hell, the gang's all here.
Okay, make sure we send out a couple of Hail Marys for that, right?
What the hell do we care? What the hell do we care? Hell, the gang's all
here.
What the hell do we care now?
Excuse me, y'all.
Anyway.
What do you have to add to bankrupt America?
Outside of what Co was talked about, and I'm pretty sure DeWaz talked about, and you said the rest of the gang is pretty much that's been talking about. 2011 basically is just the year that everybody needs to get ready. Everyone needs to. I mean, I heard Co just mention a minute ago, since I've been parked on the line listening, talking about the Vietnamese back in his backyard, who are growing their gardens and everything along the railroad tracks and a few other places, and meanwhile we're still walking around here. It's kind of surprising. And not to leave out what you said to me well before the show started today, where was you was in the post office and you said something to one of the gentlemen, and you mentioned America's bankrupt, and for a moment this person was quite surprised,
mm-hmm.
That sort of thing is going on. What do you mean, bankrupt? Oh, no, I never really thought about that. But, as far as they're concerned, they're just looking forward to retire and get these things. And here it is. We know that all this stuff is going away. This is going away, I mean, look, what is this legislator for the state of Illinois? This one guy saw in an interview. I actually saw this. And the guy made comment about the fact that, back in the day, they used to be able to count on their pensions, not to leave out the state of Alabama as well. So Alabama, I saw that recently where they said that they have stopped sending out pension checks from the pension fund. They just simply say they don't have the money to do it. And this was like a few days ago. They stopped doing it in some county in Alabama. No more pension
Alabama,
funds for now. Yeah, exactly. So no more pension funds, no more checks from the pension fund is going out. A few other things have stopped. Several states, and you were right. You corrected me, I think, Carol, you corrected me the last time. And so far it's 36 states out of 50 states that are having major, major money issues, as opposed to 46 out of 50. It's 36 out of 50. So this is what they're talking about right now. And homelessness is everywhere. I was in Hawaii last week, and I got a chance to actually see that. I mean, this is a place that is touted as being the vacationer's paradise. And yet in paradise, you got major homeless-ish problems going on over there, too. I actually saw that with my own eyes. I was kind of like, it doesn't make any sense to me. This is people, you're on vacation, you're going to the beach, and you're seeing these tent cities that are, like, up all over the place, and some folks don't have a tent, And I'm just saying to myself, where did it come from? I mean, what is this? How do you have this going on? You're paying top dollar to be in a place, while at the same time, you also see this at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Carey.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to invite my wife to come here and see. I'm actually reading it up. Mayor spoke about sometimes they're cutting off the pension funds, not paying any more pensions.
Yes, sir.
Remember, like we read about the new law that they're getting enforced, or they're passing about states have the right to file bankruptcy.
Yes.
I'm going to invite my wife to come around the mic and read from this thing, a path that sought for states to escape debt burdens. So
yes.
She's coming around. She's going to read just one paragraph so we see what's happening already.
Okay.
policymakers are working behind the scenes to come up with a way to let states declare bankruptcy and get out from under crushing debts, including the pensions they have promised to retired public workers.
Does that tie in?
Yes, it does.
So it was going to be, it's already what? In operation.
Wow.
You're not going to get bankrupt. You're already bankrupt. Now they're going to let the states start. Each state, you talk about 36 states going file bankruptcy under Chapter 9. What happened to the pension fund, to those public workers?
Now, you know what? Something I said to Gohan about that earlier today, and you all think about this. It's odd that the states are considering bankruptcies, the cities are considering bankruptcies. However, the government is not talking about going under bankruptcy. I shouldn't say bankruptcy. Well, taking the pension funds from their employees. Because why? Because that would leave the congressmen and the senators' pensions in question.
Yeah,
so they can take the cities and they can take the states, but they're not going to mess with federal employees. That seems like that would be. But that
Mr.
seems
Karen,
like. Yes, sir.
Mr. Karen, we've been bankrupt ever since the end of the First World War, according to protocol.
That long ago.
Because when you fight three walls, you're already bankrupt. So when the Depression hit in 1933, we ain't never come out from under that. Each president has been able to manage it to the extent it's got in now. You are feeling the effects of 1932 of a lie that we've been living that we not.
Mm-hmm. So it's all a lie.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what, okay,
overlords ruling. And see, we ain't never came out of the Depression. This country has always, every president, each president has taken place since Roosevelt. He's fallen up. Some could catch up and come. Right now, they're so far gone because each wall costs so much. Protocols say after you fight three walls, you bankrupt. They got you. Yeah, I mean, you ain't nothing that you can do. Even though you might won the walls, you are bankrupt. Economically.
Isn't there some kind of law or rule? I don't know how to call it. Where once you fight a war, you're responsible for going back and rebuilding the country.
Yep.
Right, Carrie.
Wait
this
a minute.
Up me here.
That's the way.
Yeah.
That's the way. That's the way the Americans do it.
Right.
Nobody
if you read the book, The Art of War,
that's it.
The way the Chinese do it, they don't destroy
property.
The country.
Oh.
Only Magog and God do that, the Europeano, the Germanic tribe. They go to America's history is he go destroy a country, then go rebuild it and put them up on a democracy when he's a Republican form of government. He put everybody else up on a democracy. This is what history tells us. If you've studied history like I done studied history, I'm a history fanatic. So history
right.
tells us that, and so you
right.
can see that, Sister Carol. You can it
right.
just all lines up.
Well,
okay, well
here
you.
This is my here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to say was along the line of what Cole was talking about, and a little bit about what Dewar was talking about, as far as you fighting three wars and all. Let us keep in mind before those wars are actually fought. Okay, someone behind the scenes is kicking out huge sums of money, and they're not getting this from the taxpayers. Okay, the trillions of dollars. How many hundreds of trillions of dollars have already poured into the military-industrial complex? They've got weapon systems that you can't even pronounce if you saw what they look like. You don't even know what they are. Lasers, all kinds of highly advanced systems, systems that they're even using in the area of mind control, all this kind of stuff. This stuff requires money. So by the time you talk about you're going to go to a country and you're going to do something to another country, this program has stepped up its game by 100 to 1,000 fold, maybe 10,000 fold. And the amount of money that's already been poured into these things they're mind-boggling. You can't begin to wrap your mind around it because you would want to know who on earth. As a matter of fact, let me tell you what I saw when I was working down at World Financial Center in New York, down in the Wall Street area. First, I had never heard this discussed when I was in the military and I myself as an officer. Never heard this discussed. But seeing it with my own eyes is beyond all words or description. While one day taking a little relaxing break outside the financial district down there, one of the places I worked at, I used to see coming in and out of the door high-ranking military U.S. officers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to figure out what they were doing down on the Wall Street area. Well, of course, they get funding from a lot of these financial institutions that do a lot of underwriting, a lot of the capital markets and things like that. So when you talk about who's indebted to who, the military-industrial complex is really indebted to the financial institutions, the financial industries that fund them. So, and they actually go down there, just like other people would try to go down there and get money for various different things that they need. Well, you know, they go down there, they have what you call financial plans written, where the military, the financial institutions are in the bed with, they're in the bed with the military industrial complex. It doesn't matter what the branch of service is. They're funding them. And so the bottom line is you have to ask yourself the question, for what do they have to give up or what orders do they have to receive to go out and do something in the world so that these people can feel that they're getting their money's worth? At the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about the money. So I'm going to give you $1 trillion. And here it is, the U.S. has even gone beyond that. China, sometime last year, 2010, towards the end of 2010, made a comment that the fact that they loaned the U.S. $3 trillion, of which the U.S. used a portion of that trillions of dollars to go invade Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, China did not say, China didn't say that they knew the U.S. was going to do that. They just was simply in there ranting against the U.S. and the shape of the U.S. economy. And China says they know the U.S. is not going to repay them. Basically has said that we loaned you $3 trillion we loaned you, you used a portion of that to go into Afghanistan.
Wow.
So I'm like, wow. And so this, and what's going on recently with this thing about, so when you talk about who bankrupt the country is this little welfare kid who's who has never really, if you think about it, never really stood on our own, not for 1 minute, because George Washington, remember we talked about him, he got $20 million. He got $5 million in gold from some people to finance and fund his campaign. He got a host of other people that did some stuff too in terms of funding and financing. Right up into the Reconstruction era, after the Civil War, $20 million or $25 million that was given freely, or loaned, loaned freely to the Reconstruction of the federal government. That the Moors contributed. So, you know, they never really had money. And so at some point, their quest for looking for partners from one end of the earth to the other ends of the earth has, as I would say, has landed them in the bed with some very strange bedfellows indeed.
Well, you know what's confusing to me is that we know the shape that we're in. And when I see us give billions of dollars to other countries in foreign aid, and we see all the pork belly spending, and we see things like, you know, fighting two wars at the same time and outsourcing jobs and tax for the rich. It almost seems like this was planned. It doesn't seem like this could be something that happened accidentally. And so we would want to do that to ourselves.
Right. Well, Carrie, let me just say this. There's a correction that has to be made. The government has not been given money in foreign aid to countries without their people there getting their palms greased. So let me give you an example. They destroyed the infrastructure of Iraq, right? They destroyed the infrastructure of Afghanistan. Okay. Now, they will say that they're giving so many billions of dollars in foreign aid, which is supposed to add to the reconstruction. That money, as already has been proven, that money only goes into the pockets of those American construction companies, whereas that's all it's paying. It's just paying those people. In terms of the projects that they claim it's supposed to go towards, it's not happening. There's no power stations being rebuilt, no major buildings, no apartment complexes, no shopping centers, none of that stuff. It's, and only things that are really being done is to support the U.S. presence there, is the roads are being maintained for the most part, you know, by construction and road construction projects, the airfields and all those other things that is required for sustainment operations. Other
but
than
you
that,
can't
the
actually.
People, the people at the lower end don't see that money. There's no country that the U.S. has been in, and this is you can tell your listening audience to go Google this under economic hitman. Economic hitman, a guy who was a former economic hitman who did write a book about what it is exactly the U.S. do, what is meant by when the U.S. says that they're giving foreign aid to a country. He explains the entire process. He talks about how they do that right down to how people are assassinated, period, for not willing to comply with the U.S., wanting to come up in there and wanting them to play ball. And so when you say no, you know that you will disappear under the U.S. government's disappearing program. You will disappear one way or another.
So we're down to our last 10 minutes of this segment. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHC 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic, Who Bankrupt America, Part 2. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Area code 404-388. Good afternoon. You're on center stage.
What's good, Carrie? This is Blizzum. What's popping with you?
Hi, Blizzum. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm sitting back listening. I decided to hit the number one before the show ended, just to give my little two cents.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't researched a particular topic as extensive as like most people that I'm hearing on this phone. You know what I mean? So I really don't. As far as who did it, at the end of the day, you can Google and you can go back and you can look and trace back some of the money and some of it, but it's always someone that you just it's so out of range that you just never really know. There's a million reasons why this country is in the shape it's in economically and whatever. But at the end of the day, I think that this country, we owe China all this money, like a lot of people said on the phone line and everything, but at the end of the day, what are they going to do about it? What are they going to do, invade us? What are they going to come over and take it back? At the end of the day, this is America. They're not going to allow that. They'll nuke everybody and kill us and everybody else before they let that happen. So, I mean, yeah, we owe people money. We bankrupt and everything and all that stuff, but these people that we owe or whatever, they're not going to take, what are they going to do to get the money back? If we don't pay them back, and what? This is America. This is how they roll. I mean, it's been like this since the inception of the country. It's people who made it. They don't give a damn. They don't care. If they owe somebody, they do. If somebody owe them, they'll get it. If they owe somebody, it's whatever. Who bankrupted the country? I don't know. You got to go all the way back. Like the guy said at the beginning, George Washington borrowed money. Everybody borrowed money. You know, this is how the money is swapped and goods are swapped. And this is the nature of the earth and the world and the countries. But at the end of the day, Americans can owe whoever they want to owe, but ain't nobody going to do nothing about it because we're America. And until somebody knocks us off the block, then that is what it is. That's how I feel about it.
Hey, let me make a comment, Karen.
What are you, okay.
That's okay.
Mr. Pope?
Yes. Brother, I want you to be very, very careful when you say we America and won't nobody do nothing to America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other countries are not afraid of America. Okay. And be real careful when you start talking about your cojones and how big they swell up, because other countries' cojones are just as big as America. See, the same nuclear weapons that America has, other countries have them also. It's a lot of sales here in America that you have no idea about. So if they want to take America, see, it goes back to, I don't know your lifestyle, but if you go back to the hood way of living, you don't boast. If you owe somebody some money, you don't boast and brag about, I owe you money, now what? Okay, because somebody.
I never said America boasts and brags about it. But at the end of the day, they don't say anything about it. Like somebody else already said, no one says it. No one's talking about it. Yeah, America, know they own the money. No, I'm not saying America goes around and boasts and brags. Yeah, we owe China money, and what? That's not the attitude that America takes. But at the end of the day, America knows they owe these people this money. But if America doesn't pay, what's going to happen? If America don't pay that money, bro, what's going to happen? That's what I'm saying.
China will fight.
I never said America boasted and bragged, but what's
China will fight.
And
America
will fight. And we're going to fight them back. And we're going to fight them back.
Right.
If I was that bee that run this country right now, before they let somebody come take it from them and invade these shores, they'll wipe all 6 billion of us off this whole thing.
But this country has already been invaded. It's invaded right now. That's what I'm telling you. They people are already here.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So they're just waiting for something to jump off.
Right. Their sales are already in place. When they want to take this country, brother, they can take it at any moment. They are in the government system. They are in the Senate. They are in the military. I mean, they are in the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force. They are all over.
So they
brother,
do.
It wouldn't be hard to take this. It'd be hard for the American Negro to take this country. But it wouldn't be hard
that'll
for
China
that's, to
that's
take this country.
That's an impossibility, as far as I'm concerned. That's an impossibility. That's never going to happen. That's an impossibility. I mean, that's like breathing air in space. It's not going to happen. So I don't even think along those lines. That's just ludicrous.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
This
that's
is
not going to happen.
This is Mahir. Hey, brother. I think you're from, was it 404 area code? Were you in Atlanta?
Yeah, Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta.
Are you
yeah.
familiar with anything in the Old Testament?
And I
do
what
you read
it?
Do you read anything in the Old Testament?
I've read the Bible before. Yes. I know.
Okay.
I'm familiar with that.
You just said it's an impossibility, right? I want you to read Isaiah chapter 47, the daughter of Babylon. This is who we're dealing with, the land that was all secure, the virgin daughter no one has touched, who dwells between two major bodies of water, and who says that I sit alone, there's none other besides me, I will not know widowhood, neither will I experience the loss of children. And what's going to happen to her by all the nations that's going to carve that rear end up nine ways to Sunday? Okay, you need to read that. And then she's going to get married.
America
already been laid out.
America, if Rome can fall, America can fall. Everybody knows the country can fall at the end of the day. Because if Rome can fall, America can fall.
But this is not about this is not a normal type of fall. No, it's not. Countries fall and have failed, and empires have fell for reasons. And sometimes it was internal, and sometimes it was a combination from external, where they had enemies invading them, as well as what they had failed to maintain and keep on the internal side. So they went bust on both ends. This place is going out the same way. They're going bust on both ends. And Russia and China don't sleep on that jet. And again, nobody's afraid of losing people in a nuclear exchange either. So don't think they are. I mean, people used to be afraid of this place. They're no longer afraid of this place. They're not anymore. So when you watch the media, they're telling you a lie by simply saying they hate this place because of its freedoms. No, they just hate this place because this place is a place to be hated.
Arrogant.
She's done too much evil in the world to other people, bumping them off, assassinations, taking their gold, giving them worthless money that really doesn't mean anything, and meanwhile, all the land and resources are gone.
That's, what about China?
That's
they
caused
that.
China has stepped up its game. China has never forgot about Britain and the U.S. participating in the days of when they were hooked on opium. They never forgot that. And the U.S. did some other stuff that they shouldn't have done. Let's start with the mountains of gold that the Cherokee people used to be entrusted with by the Cantonese before that country was ever called China, per se. The Cantonese. We Cherokees over here was entrusted by them. And when these people came over this way, they even sold the Chinese princesses into slavery. They spared nobody. The world at large has not forgotten that history. Okay, we have. We're walking around with amnesia, not remembering what exactly the heck happened to us, and can barely give a fairly accurate account of what, who did what, and when. And meanwhile, you got the rest of the world know your history better than you do, and they still know their history too.
Okay, that's going to happen.
And this is not going to go.
Okay, that's going to have to be the final word. I'd like to say thank you to my guests, Kohan Yashabaya, Mahir L., Mr. Paul, Carol Blair, and Mr. David Wyatt. A reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or our host. Also, we'd like to remind you to join us January 29th, next Saturday at 3 p.m. Central, as we discuss the topic, gang violence. Are you Dying for Part 2. Our featured guest is going to be LaFell Jackson. He's the ex-leader of a Crips set in Little Rock, Arkansas. He was featured in the 1994 HBO documentary Gang War, Banging in Little Rock. He's an excellent speaker on gangs. He himself is an ex-gang leader, and he's going to be able to tell us a lot about that particular topic. On behalf of AJ, Kundalini, and myself, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.